Sonic.
Hey everyone, just taking a quick 15 seconds to let you know that my new book, The Fitness Mindset, Eat for Energy, Train for Tension, Manage Your Mindset, Reap the Results, which hit the bestseller list within 24 hours of its release, is now available to buy on Amazon. So if you're looking for everything you need to get into incredible shape and the mindset to keep it forever, be sure to check it out. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset. With your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. I'm so excited today to have my guest, Amanda from Recalibrated Bodies. Amanda is an Irish national bikini champion and has been training for well over 10 years. Amanda received a first-class honours degree in sport and exercise science and returned to university to complete a degree in health science specializing in naturopathy, nutritional medicine, and Western herbal medicine. Amanda is one half of the amazing Recalibrated Bodies team, the episode 85 with her fiancé, Daniel. Amanda, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
A lot of people, Amanda, follow you and Daniel and the whole Recalibrated Bodies. I'll link up everything in the show notes, so be sure to check out their Instagram, their Facebook, their website. It'll all be in the show notes. But is there anything I left out there, Amanda, that you want to tell my audience a bit more about?
I've also got a master's in biomechanics. Wow. So I did that in Australia before I went back to college to do my second degree.
That's amazing. I remember on Daniel's episode, he was like, between the amount of degrees and things he have is crazy.
Poor parents are going to have a heart attack because I'm looking at doing another master's in September. And they're just like, girl, can you just stop already? It's gas.
That's amazing. So with all you've done, Amanda, in fitness, what got you into fitness first? Talk us through that journey. What got you started?
I've always really been into sports. So I played county football with Clare and played soccer and camogie with Six Mile Bridge. When I was about 16, I decided I wanted to do sports science in UL for college. I was completely turned against it from my guidance counselor at school. They just said, you know, there was no openings, no career opportunities, and to pursue a business degree. But anyone that knows me, that it's just not my cup of tea at all. Like, how we've managed to run a business and actually maintain a business is all down to Daniel. I'm the people person. So I did that in UL. And from there, then I had to do a 9-month internship in Australia. So I could have went anywhere in the world, but I wanted to go to Australia because the facilities and I suppose the contacts over there were a lot better than what you'd get here. Training back then wasn't really cool. This is 2005 I left, so what, 12 years ago. So from there then I just really got into it, learning all about the different types of training, because when I first started training myself it was mainly just like machine weights and cardio. So that's how I kind of got into it. I've always been into sports and being active.
Okay, so it was Australia was kind of when you first got your taste of the gym.
Yeah, definitely. So when I was there, I worked with the Australian swim and cricket team, doing their biomechanical analysis. So just like looking at their different strokes and how to improve their performance. And then looking at the kind of strength and conditioning programs that they had in place. And for us, even though I was halfway through my degree, we just didn't have those. It just wasn't on our curriculum here. So I felt I was learning what was about to come. So I decided that I wanted to stay as much as I could in Australia. So I went back, finished my fourth year. They offered me my residency and all the rest when I went back. So I signed up then to do my master's through Brendan Burkett, who at the time was the Paralympian swim coach. Yeah. So yeah, fantastic experience. It was absolutely amazing.
Amazing. That's when you met Daniel then. For those of you that don't know, episode 85 is Daniel is the other half of Recalibrated Bodies. That's when you met Daniel in Australia then, obviously.
Daniel came into the scene about 6 years later, actually. So I did my master's and I worked at the University of the Sunshine Coast while I was there. Then I decided, like, it was literally all physics and looking at computers, really minimal people interaction. So I decided to pursue a different avenue. So I actually got offered a scholarship to go back and do medicine. So I did 6 months of medicine and I rang home and decided that it wasn't for me, because in those 6 months, like, it was a graduate entry. So it was all like having pharmaceutical companies coming in, talking about their drugs and all the rest. And I wanted to get a little bit more hands on. So I went back, I rang home and I decided to tell them I was dropping out of my scholarship. that I was going becoming a naturopath. And my dad's response, like, he's so country, was, so you're a witch doctor, basically. Just did not get it at all, at all. Like, oh my God, it was the most awkward conversation. So after the 6 months of medicine, I transferred my scholarship across then and started my new degree, ran a clinic for 3 years while I was there, went out on my own and just was really, really lucky with the opportunity I got from that. And then I met Daniel 5 years ago. Amazing. When I was at GNC. Yeah. I was his boss then. I'm still his boss now.
That's so funny. I remember when he told me in the episode, because that was the first time I had heard it. And he was like, yeah, Amanda's my boss. I was like, oh, nice. I was like, good job, Amanda.
I know. Yeah, it was, yeah. Med work, interesting, that's for sure.
I am sure it did. Tell me, why the switch to naturopath? What was the pull for that?
I suppose, like, I always, even when I was growing up, I was always really interested in getting to the root of the problem as opposed to just treating the symptoms. And from what I had covered, now maybe the medicine degree would have changed avenues, but from what I had seen in the 6 months I was there, it was just like, someone has a headache, you treat the headache, but you're not actually addressing why they're getting a headache in the first place. So I did a little bit more research into it, and the course that I ended up doing, the health science course, had three different advanced diplomas underneath that umbrella. And it was, again, just looking at how, like, what's going on, looking at a person as a multitude of systems as opposed to just addressing symptoms. Sorry. Yeah. So you're like addressing basically the root of the problem and looking at those concerns. So it just kind of it was more me, and it gave me more time. One of the things that stood to me was, we were told, you know, you've got about 7 minutes on average to deal with a person when they come in for, you know, a general practice consult. And I was like, well, in 7 minutes, you can barely get a medical history, let alone delve into what's going on with them. So I just, and me being a talker, and I love getting to the bottom of things with people's problems and stuff, I just thought that the naturopathy route was a little bit more applicable and suitable to my personality. So,
yeah, that makes perfect sense. Now, when you say it like that, because you can see that, I'll link up the Instagram page, but your content is very much on that. It's finding the, well, what's going on here, as opposed to just fixing a symptom. And that's very, very apparent in the content that you put out.
Yeah, definitely.
So Amanda, someone as successful as you in terms of recalibrated bodies, you've got your Instagram page is amazing. You're always traveling the world. You're working with so many people. Yourself and Daniel both compete at top levels. You're a bikini champion yourself. Is there anything you do in the first hour of the day, or take us through your morning ritual, or if you even have one, that's kind of sets you up for the rest of the day?
I suppose at the moment, our minutes are so precious because we just have so much going on. So first thing in the morning when I get up, it's switch on the laptop, have a cup of coffee, and just organize my day. So be it, do client reviews. Have we new programs to put out? Have we content that we need to share on social media, emails, meetings, things like that? So it's just trying to have the day as organized as possible. I suppose coming out of prep for Europeans literally took so much time out of our day that right now I'm just focusing on trying to spend as much time with family and friends that were kind of neglected at the first half of the year. So I'm always trying to pencil in the girls here for an hour. So yeah, it's just trying to be as structured and organized as possible.
Yeah, that's a great way of doing it. That's the thing with contest prep, and I've spoke about that on other episodes as well. Very, very consuming in terms of your family, friends, everything takes a little bit of a back. It goes to the back just for a temporary, for a time being, but it's great to come out the other side.
Yeah.
And be penciling and making the time now.
It's such a selfish sport. I don't think people realize just how much it takes until, especially when you're competing at that higher level, you have to take things up a notch again. So it's definitely nice to be on the other end of it for now.
Yeah, fair play. So again, Amanda, because of your background in all the different areas that you have, biomechanics, naturopath, nutrition, all of it, what are the biggest mistakes you see people making in terms of training, nutrition, whatever that you think you can provide the most value here? What are kind of the biggest mistakes you'll see? For example, Daniel talked about people not training the muscle the correct way, loading it for enough stress for growth. Is there anything you see in training or nutrition or just life in general that you think you could provide value with?
There's a couple of things. I suppose something that I deal with day in, day out is disordered eating. And it's something that's really prevalent, especially, I suppose, since social media has grown. So one thing I definitely would say, particularly to your girls, and I'm guilty of it myself, I've done it back in the day when I didn't know any better, is cutting calories and restricting. Not only are you going to interfere with your training performance, which at the end of the day is of paramount importance, regardless of whether your goals are building muscle or dropping body fat, but you're going to create a vicious cycle. So Monday to Friday, you're eating salads, living on coffee, and then come the weekend you're binging. And what people don't realize is that surplus on the weekend is actually taking you out of the deficit you've created all week, and you're not getting anywhere except for accentuating that cycle over and over again. So that's definitely something that I'd say 90% of our clients that we deal with are on some sort of a reverse, just to trying to get their calories back up. The other thing, this is actually probably more of a pet hate than anything else, seeing lads drink a Monster while they're training. No, and no. And again, it's something that we've shared so many times. I think it's a placebo effect at this stage of the game. It's almost like, you know, you walk into the gym with your squat shoes and you're kind of Monster. Like, it just, it's part of your gym kit. But what they don't realize is that caffeine is going to have a peak stimulatory effect 45 to 60 minutes after consuming it. Yeah. When you're in your recovery after training, spiking that cortisol is going to absolutely do you no good for your gains. So that's, again, something that we kind of, those little tips that we try to share across our social media platforms so that people can kind of get the best, most out of their training.
That's amazing. I'm so happy that they were the two you shared as well, because I love the Jack Canfield quote, that success leaves clues. And I've spoken on other episodes very, very similar to both of that, having caffeine into workout and its spike, its ability on the negative side. I didn't put it in the Monster aspect. I was talking caffeine in general, but I much prefer the way you said it. and people coming from a calorie restriction. So it's great to hear it come, particularly from with your level of expertise, for people to hear that. So thank you for sharing that, Amanda, definitely. This is one of my favorite questions to ask. And again, I'll let you decide what you think will work best to you, whether it's nutrition, whether it's a life tip, whether it's a training advice. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, Amanda, what advice would you give her in any area of life, whether it be business, life, nutrition, training? What would you say to her if you could go back?
Great question, Brian. I suppose for me, it would have been that cardio is not king. Back in the day, I'd be like, I'm going to have my cheat meal tonight, but it's okay because I'm going to do an hour cardio tomorrow and you're going to burn it off. But like, people don't realize how, I suppose, metabolically inexpensive cardio actually is. So I see it all the time, still people justifying going out for drinks, but it's okay, I did my extra 10 minutes of HIIT. It's like 50 calories at tops. Yeah. So getting, you know, if you are off track or you've just come back from holidays, the best thing that you can do is just to get back to where you were, implement your old training, implement your old nutrition, and give it a week to see how your body responds, instead of trying to hammer yourself with cardio and training and cutting calories, because at the end of the day, you're just going to end up in a position 10 times worse off. So I've done it, and that's why I can say that it definitely didn't do me any favors in the long run.
Yeah, I love that. Like, I love the Brandon Mull quote that the smart people learn from the mistakes, the really smart people learn from the mistakes of others. So hopefully people will take a lot from that. So the next part is one of my favorite parts of the entire episode, Amanda, is a rapid fire, where I'm basically just going to throw questions at you, and you can respond in one word answers. You can expand it out, and you can take it in whatever direction you want to go with it. Ready for it?
Yeah, let's go.
Awesome. Okay, when you think of the word successful, who's the first person that comes to mind and why?
I'm probably going to be murdered for saying this, but anyone that follows me knows I'm an avid Conor McGregor fan. Like, obsessed. Just following his journey from the start and seeing where he's gotten himself for today. And like, I mean, sometimes his attitude and arrogance and stuff does annoy me as well. But the mastery of his skills, his mindset, just phenomenal. Like, to see, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, he's collecting the dole to now being one of the biggest paid athletes in the world, if not probably the most biggest paid athlete in the world. I just love his mentality and how he's just, he believes in himself, and no matter what he sets in front of him, win, lose or draw, he's going to learn and move on. And he's always up for a challenge. So yeah, our big fan, Connor.
Yeah, I love that answer. What purchase of €100 or less has most positively affected your life in the last 6 or 12 months?
This is going to sound really corny, right? But my mom and I always go to the same Chinese restaurant once a week. We get takeaway for the family, bring it back. And there's a fella that's always sitting outside that we've got chatting to. And we bought him coffee and chips. And it was such a simple gesture. But we opened up the conversation and he, you know, divulged how he got addicted to drugs and how he ended up in the street in the first place. And I suppose, you know, I have days where I'm like, oh, Jesus, here we go again. How am I going to get through the day? And that's always kind of in the back of my mind that there's always someone, you know, in a less... in a worse off position and stuff. So it wasn't for me as such, but just hearing his story, it just made me grateful for where I am. And any of the days that I feel like complaining and moaning and whinging and stuff, I just don't go there, because what's there to complain about? Like,
yeah, I love that. I have a bracelet that I wear on days when I need it that says the struggle ends when the gratitude begins. And I always find that I love the book by Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning, about coming through a concentration camp and a survivor of that. And every time that we have relative things that are bringing us down, and again, anxiety, worry, stress, all of that's all relative. But sometimes having these reference points of people that are in that position or have been through what's seen, quote unquote, relatively worse, can make you feel very, very in a sense of gratitude for the position that you're in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have a quote you live your life by or think of often? So for example, one of my favorite quotes, and I had this for my first 2 years of business, I had "comparison is the thief of joy" stamped above my bed.
I think I've actually stolen that across our social media as well from you.
it's something that I struggled with myself, and I had to tattoo it onto my brain, because all of my anxiety and worry and all the things that I've dealt with myself were all spawning from my comparison with others. My body dysmorphia and going through that whole side and issues that I had was down to a direct comparison of what I thought were people that were ahead of me, or that I put them on a pedestal. So I had to tattoo that. And it's the quote I live by now, but it's more when I share, because I've largely come out the other side. Is there anyone that you like yourself that you're a fan of or that you live your life by?
It's so simple, but something that I look at all the time. It's just be passionate, stay humble.
Yeah.
I think humility in our industry is something that's almost a thing of the past. You see new businesses popping up all the time, slating others, slandering other companies. We're the next best thing, da 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 da. And like, it's great to have confidence in your ability, but you just, I think how you portray yourself across social media is really going to set yourself up in your business and how people are going to look at you. So I'm a big fan of being humble in what you do and realizing that if you're the brightest person in the room, you're in the wrong room, or the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. Instead of claiming to know it all, like, I'm in the industry over 15 years, have, you know, a lot of knowledge behind me, but I'm learning every single day. So I think it's really important to keep those values and stay true to them, I suppose.
Yeah, and that's really, really evident from as long as I've known yourself and Daniel, and we both have that. As you climb up and as the calibrated body just keeps growing and doing amazing things, you're still the same people the first day I met you.
Yeah, I don't think that'll change anyway.
No, I really don't. It's a great thing to see. What book, Amanda, do you think, or do you think that everybody on the planet could benefit from reading? Or do you have a book that you love to give to people or tell people to check out?
I actually have it beside me because I knew I was going to forget the name of it. It's The Life-Changing Magic of Not Giving a Fuck.
Who's that by?
Sarah Knight.
Okay.
It's a really, really good read. For a couple of reasons for me, like yourself, I'm from a tiny village. Everyone knows who was at Mass on Sunday to who was in the local pub on a Saturday night. And when we first started the business, I was really cautious and conscious of what we were sharing because, you know, I just didn't want to see people me plastered half naked all over their Instagram and things like that. But I realized, you know, that you just have to let go of what other people think, and the people that really matter to you are going to be supportive no matter what. So in that regard, it's definitely helped. And the other thing was, I'm a massive yes person. I find it really, really hard to say no and turn things down. Hence why I'm on here today, Brian.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So just, I suppose, learning how to prioritize your time when you are so busy, and learning who the really important people are in your life, instead of trying to spread yourself so thin that you're spending quality time with those that really count. So yeah, it's a really, really interesting read, and I think a lot of people can learn a couple of things from it, and it's hilarious.
Really, yeah, it sounds good. It's a great, what a title. I'll definitely link that up in the show notes. Is there anything that you've changed your mind about in the last few years? So I'll tee this one up. I've had a couple of these. For example, there was once upon a time when I thought that you couldn't eat any processed foods, that you couldn't have your Cocoa Pops or cereals or whatever it is post-workout, and all of these things that I still don't think are optimal nutritionally, but work tremendously well for certain people. And if they factor them in, and it's what keeps them on track, can work very well over the long term. So it's something that I've kind of yielded to recently and be like, well, actually, it's about what works best for each person. Is there anything that you have in any area of your life, whether training, nutrition, or lifestyle, that you've changed your mind about in the last few years?
Definitely. I for me anyway, the less is more concept when it comes to training. And again, something we see with clients all the time that want to train 6 or 7 times a week. I used to be exactly like that. I'd get up in the morning, do my cardio, I'd train after work, and was doing maybe 13 to 14 sessions a week. Wasn't really getting anywhere in terms of, you know, changing body composition or increasing my strength. So I cut it back to 4 sessions. Nearly had a mini heart attack because I thought I was just going to like get ridiculously fat or something. And magic happened. Like, I got so much stronger in my sessions. I was, you know, not under pressure to be constantly going to and from the gym from work and all the rest. And my performance increased dramatically. So less is definitely more with training. And if you think about it realistically, what kind of intensity can you maintain if you're training day in, day out over the course of a year? It's just not possible. So now I train, well, coming out of the show, I'm doing 4 sessions a week. They're 4 really, really tough sessions after a good, you know, month of deload. And even now I'm starting to put back on a little bit of muscle mass and all the rest. So less is more, people, definitely.
Yeah, I love that. I have a section in my book that literally has that exact, without the your less is more example, about how I used to train 3 hours a day. And because I grew up with the mantra that the more you put in, the more you get out. But training isn't necessarily like that. Your body's more like a machine. And if you overwork a machine, it gets broken down, as opposed to quality over quantity, and how my body composition changed when I went from 3 hours to 2 hours, 2 hours to 1 hour, and scaled it back and kept the quality high. So it's a great one. The less is more is a great way of putting that. Okay, last one, Amanda. What is something that you believe that other people think is insane? So, for example, I tee this one up similar with Daniel. I have a belief that thoughts become things, and that you can, when you bring your subconscious thoughts into conscious thought, and your thoughts will lead to your actions will create your life, that you can literally create anything that you want if you're willing to put the right thoughts into your head and then do the work around it. And sometimes people say it and they think it's a bit woo-woo, because you're like, you can't think things into existence. I'm like, no, you can't. But if you put the work in and then put everything into your mind that will feed that inversion or end goal, you definitely can. And sometimes I get a bit of knockback on it from people that aren't in a place to accept that information, which is, again, is totally fine. But it's something that I get that people sometimes think is totally insane. Is there anything similar that you have, or a life philosophy or training, nutrition, that you're like, other people just think this is insane?
Definitely. I actually had this conversation with a girl I used to work with in Australia when I worked for an airline, like 10 years ago, just this morning. And she's a little bit lost in life. She's lost her direction, lost her focus. And I just said to her, Karen, anything is possible. Like, for us, if you had told me 3 years ago that I'd be living back in Ireland with a booming business, with my other half, with staff underneath us, I would have laughed at you. But we set ourselves a goal and we knew the focus and direction that we wanted to take. And people laughed at us. Like, even I'd say last month, my dad, the creator, came in with the Clear Champion, and he's like, oh, they're advertising for staff in the Bank of Ireland. Wouldn't that be a handy job? And I'm like, Dad, I have my own business.
A very successful business.
Yeah. Just doesn't, I suppose, being like from that generation, he doesn't see how you can run a business from a computer without ever having to leave the house, kind of a thing. So even for him, when you sit down and explain it to him, it's just trying to reiterate that no matter what you put your mind to, it may take some people a little bit longer, but you can achieve it. Yeah. And always aim high.
Yeah, I love that. It's like aim small, miss small.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amanda, thank you so much for coming on. I know how crazy your schedule is with work and training and everything. So where is the best place for people to find out more about you? I'm going to link everything up in the show notes. But if people want to go straight onto their phones now and check you out, where is the best place for them to find you?
Instagram and our Facebook is just Recalibrated Bodies. Our Snapchat is Recalibrated B, and the website is just recalibratedbodies.com.
Deadly. So that'll be linked up in the show notes, and anyone listening to this, you'll be able to click on straight through. Amanda, thank you so much again.
Thanks, Brian.